Blog Talk Radio.
You are now entering the BYGP locker room with your host, Coach Terrence Wood. Let's go.
Coach Terrence Wood in the BYGP Locker Room Show, and we are always pumped up for our shows because we bring knowledge to young aspiring football players and their families on how to get to that next level. But we are especially excited, you guys, for tonight's guest. This is a gentleman that I've been fortunate enough to play with. This is somebody that I look at as a brother, just like Coach Cormier and Andre Girard and so many players that we've brought on to the show. But this is somebody that I've seen grow from a 17, 18-year-old young man to the father, the husband, and the business professional that he is today. And that's none other than San Diego State's Director of Football Operations, Jay Sean Sykes. Jay, can you hear me tonight?
I can hear you well.
Great, great. Well, hey, man, I know we got you on short notice, and I know you're busy and getting ready for the summer, but thanks for coming on tonight.
No, no problem. You know, anytime you call me, I got you.
Definitely. So, hey, we got a lot of young players, people already texting me, Instagram, saying that they're listening tonight, even though it was a short notice. Obviously, a lot of our young men want to get to college, and you have that information. So let's get started. For those that don't know you, Jay, where are you originally from?
Hometown is born and raised in South Central Los Angeles.
Gotcha. And obviously, we were fortunate enough to meet in college. You decided to go to the University of Colorado, and you pretty much could have chose anywhere you wanted to out of high school. What was the decision to leave sunny California and go to frigid Boulder, Colorado?
And you know, it's funny. I was just sharing this story this morning with someone. Someone asked me the same question. You know, basically what it came down to for me is, like you said, you know, not to sound arrogant, but I had a lot of options coming out of high school. I failed to mention from South Central, went to Sarah High School, which is a powerhouse right now for football, and was a powerhouse during my time. But what it came down to for me was just the opportunity to play and, you know, to have a great college experience. And, you know, I took all five of my recruiting trips. I went to Ohio State. I went to, obviously, Colorado. I went to Oregon. I went to Arizona State. And I went to USC. That's where I took my five visits. And it basically came down to Ohio State, USC, and University of Colorado. And, you know, growing up in L.A., I grew up in a gang-infested neighborhood, gang and drug-infested neighborhood. And, you know, USC was probably, you know, 8 miles from my house, probably less than that. And, you know, I just wanted something new. You know, my senior year in high school, I had experienced so much just growing up in the neighborhood that I needed something new. I needed to be refreshed. I knew it was a better life out there, And, you know, Ohio State was, and I hate to say that, you know, they were really the favorite. And, but it was a bit far from my family, you know, that wasn't traveling from LA to Ohio to come see me play would cost my family a lot of money. And for Colorado, you know, it's a 16-hour drive. You can get a plane ticket for, if you purchase in time, you can get a plane ticket for around $200. Had a lot of guys like yourself from the California area. So really, when I took my official visit, I really felt at home. Colorado did a great job recruiting me. Had an opportunity to play right away. And for the most part, I think I had a pretty good career. So at the end of the day, you know, Colorado ended up being the best place for me, you know, academically, met some great friends like yourself and just had an all in all great experience. So that's how I ended up at Colorado.
And obviously, and that was a great story right there, yeah, illustrating how you got to Boulder. But obviously, we were glad you came because you came out there and not only good friend, but ripped it up on the field. Talk to us a little bit about once you got to CU, though. If you could kind of think back, Jay, I know it's hard, we're getting older, but if you can think back, do you feel like you really realized the severity or the urgency of the opportunity? Do you really realize, you know, how good of a shot that you were getting both on and off the field by getting a college football scholarship?
You know, for me, T. Wood, I did. I knew what was at stake. I knew everything that I was given only because I had two older brothers that played Division I football. I had an older brother that played at Oregon State, and I had an older brother that played at UCLA. My oldest brother that played at UCLA didn't finish because he's much older than we are. He broke his leg, and back then when you break your leg or tear ACL, that means your football career is done, where nowadays you break your leg or tear your ACL, they rehab it back to be better. But so they kind of prepped me on – everything. I mean, just from academics to what to expect from the team, how to fit in. Like I was, man, I every night I would get stories, I would get phone calls from my brothers. I mean, they helped me with the recruiting process. I mean, we would talk about everything, man. I mean, just everything. And that, thanks to my brothers, they prepped me. And I think I came in ready to go once I stepped foot on campus. And I have to take my hat off to my older brothers for that.
Definitely, and shout out to your brothers because you did come on campus very focused and knowing what you want and working hard. So that definitely showed from the outside looking in. You know, when you think about, because you're kind of on the other side of the fence now as the director of football operations, when you think about these young men that you see come on campus at San Diego State, do you feel like they're prepared for college off the field, or is there something that you think that they need to pay attention to more?
You know, that's a good question because, you know, we get kids from various extreme areas. You know, we get kids from low poverty areas. We get kids from, you know, parents are doing pretty well for themselves. And none of that stuff means anything as far as the kid panning out. It all depends on the desire of the kid. Most 18-year-old kids are going to come into college immature yet excited for the new adventure in life, right? But some kids don't seize the opportunity and they get into trouble. They venture off to things that to prevent them from finishing their college career. So it all depends on the individual. It's an individual-based deal, and it all depends on their desire, what they want to
get out. Great point right there.
Yeah.
Definitely. No, that was well said. And as we know, there are plenty of trappings that these young men can fall into, especially in a great place like San Diego. Talk to me a little bit, Jay, about what makes the current position that you're in as director of football operations a good fit for you and your family right now.
Well, you know, T. Wood, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I got promoted a little bit over a year ago. So before you say director of football operation, you got to put assistant athletics director of football operation in front of that title. So I have moved up. I have moved up in the world. For me, I always, you know, when I was younger, I always thought that I wanted to coach. And I've always had that desire. If you would have asked me at 15 years old, I would have told you I wanted to coach. If you would have asked me at 25, I would have told you the same thing. And, you know, to get it, when I got done playing pro ball, I went back to the University of Colorado and kind of expressed to them my interest and what I wanted to do. So they created a position for me on the administration side. And you know, it was like a 6-month internship. I think I made about, you know, $15,000. And so it wasn't any money. And basically, they wanted to see if, is this something that I really want to do? And, you know, I did it. You know, I was fresh out of the NFL, so money wasn't a thing. Still had my house in Colorado. So it really was convenient for me. And, after my 6-month internship was up, they thought that I was just going to give up on the profession, that it was too much, because it was a lot of, you know, a lot of grunt work, a lot of things that most people don't want to do. But, yeah. You know, it was very humbling. And I just, you know, I put my head down and worked my butt off. You know, I carried my same playing mentality, you know, got there early. Stayed late, asked a lot of questions, and just was thirsty to learn more. And after my 6-month internship was up, I basically volunteered for another 3 months for free, unpaid, just showing up, just continuing doing my job. And they finally saw that I was serious, so they created a permanent job for me and on the operations side. So from there, every year, I mean, literally every year I grew in operations. Every year they threw more responsibility at me, got a title change. Like every year things was happening to where I got 2 feet in and I said, man, I really like the operations aspect because, you know, people, I'm in the know of everything. I'm in communication with everyone across campus. I'm in communication with all of our players. I still have an impact on the players just as much as a regular coach because, remember, when you are a position coach, you only mostly deal with your position. But in my position that I'm in, I deal with every student-athlete all the time, every day, and sometimes at all hours of the night, depending on what's going on. So I really like the position that I'm in, and I still play a positive role as far as being a role model. And at the same time, more importantly, I don't put in all those crazy hours that a coach does. You know, coaching, sometimes they may get in at 6 a.m. and not leave till 11, 12 midnight. You know, I get in kind of normal people hours. I get in around 8 o'clock, and depending on what I have going on, I leave at 6:30. I mean, nowadays during the off season, shoot, sometimes I leave at noon if nothing's going on. So I really like the position that I'm in. I'm still a role model, still around ball, and it's something different. Most former guys get into coaching, and I'm going to operations and athletic director's route.
Wow, that sounds great. And you hit upon so many points, Jay, describing how you basically fell into the spot, you know, the hard work of a player and being able to bring that to this. And then also, you know, just the fact that you were willing to not get paid and still get after it. And then you being on the operations side, do you feel like there is more room for former athletes on the operations side, that guys should look at that?
Well, what I will say is I think there's a new trend in coaching. You know, now the former players that are going into coaching, you can kind of more be yourself, whereas before you still have to have a business mindset. So it all depends on your personality. In my role, I deal with so many people from parents to boosters to alumni to other administration across campus to coaches to other sports coaches on campus. So if you are able to communicate with all different walks of life, because that my job is not fit for everyone. If you are able to adjust and do that, then I would say yeah, because it's obviously more stability. You don't have the crazy hours. Now I don't make the money like a coach. Well, some coaches, I make pretty good money, but not money like a coach. But you don't get into professions for money. You get into it in this profession and coaching and all that other stuff to change and affect lives. So to me, that's what it's all about. And like I said, that's why I like being on this side of things, because I have access to every single player on our team.
Now, I know you have kids and a young boy, and obviously a lot of the parents and moms are keeping their eyes on what's going on in the football industry, whether it's due to some of the head injuries or some of the mm-hmm. off-the-field issues with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
I know Kiana is definitely paying attention. Your wife, would she allow your son to play football, and is that something that you think is still a great outlet for young boys today?
Well, that's a two-part question. To answer the first part, you know, I kind of – that's not an open discussion, or that's not a – we don't have to agree on that. I kind of control what's going on with my son, just because I think my opinion – only a man can raise a young boy to be a man.
Yeah.
My personal opinion, my son has played flag football. He's going to play flag football again this year. Right now he has a desire to want to play. It's in his genes. It's in his DNA. If he still wants to play tackle football by the age of 12, I will let him play tackle. Right now, I'm not going to let him play tackle just because I think he's too young. Knock on wood, he's for his age. I have him in other sports. He's exceptionally good in baseball. So, personally, I hope he goes the baseball route. But if his desire and his future is football, you know, so be it. I'm going to support that. And I think for the listeners out there, they really need to educate themselves on the game of football before they start believing, because most people believe what they hear on the news and in the media, but that is not always accurate information, and you have to do your homework. You know, more people get concussions playing soccer and lacrosse than they do in football, but because football is America's most popular sport, that's what people put more emphasis on, is telling about the negativity of or the injuries that's revolved around football. But I can tell you this, football saved my life. Football has saved probably your life and many other. Football has given me many opportunities. If it wasn't for football, I wouldn't have got a free education. I've traveled the world for football. If it wasn't for football, I wouldn't have my job. So sometimes you can't look at trying to prevent injury. Things are going, you can get in a car and be driving to work and get into a car accident. So you have to live your life, and you have to live your life not in fear.
Yes.
So So football is a great game. It teaches you how to. It teaches you what team is about. It teaches you being selfless is all about. It teaches you to give up yourself for something bigger. Football has so many teaching moments to prepare you for life. I mean, I can go on and on and talk about the benefits and the perks of football. So, yeah, can you get hurt? Yeah. And if you play long enough, you will get some sort of injury. But I think it has more benefits and more perks than whatever injury or knack you're going to get from playing the game. That just comes with it.
Well, amen, brother. You're preaching to the choir. I'm right with you. Obviously, we're biased, but I'm right with you as far as what the game provides. And maybe we'd be a little bit more tougher as a society. This wouldn't be such a big deal. But let's get into, well, actually, you know, we've got roughly about 5 minutes for those that are joining us for the first time. We are in the BYGP locker room. I'm your host, Coach Terrence Wood, with the pleasure to host my dear friend, Jay Sean Sykes, the assistant athletic director at San Diego State and the director of football operations. And I know you're busy, Jay, so maybe about 5 more minutes here. Talk to me a little bit about the idea that football players also have to be social figures. Do you think those two go hand in hand, or do you think a football player at a high level, big-time college, NFL, should be able to live their life, go home, and not worry about what's going on in society?
Well, you know, it kind of goes back on what I touched on earlier. You know, football is America's sport, and you know, a lot of young men, even adults, look at not just football but athletes as role models. And you know, as athletes, sometimes we take it upon ourselves to use our platform to speak on social issues, to get into our communities, to give back, and ultimately to change lives. Because at some point when you were a kid or a teenager, you had a point in your life that someone or something changed your life. And when you get older, and especially when you go from, you know, a poor neighborhood and all of a sudden you're making tons of money, you're around different things and you hear different conversations and you hear different people's point of views and what's important and what's not important. And I think that's why, you know, when some of these guys are getting on this platform, they're speaking about the community and police brutality and all the other topics that's going on out there, because they see the reality that's going on in our world, and you're hearing about it, and you're hearing people's opinions about it. And if you come from those environments and you have the power to change, it's kind of our obligation to speak about it and to try to make change, because we have the power to do so. And these are, most of the time when people are speaking out, they're speaking out about our people or our people that come from our neighborhood. Maybe you came from that same neighborhood. I mean, all these events that's happened over the last couple months or years, I can relate to. I have a personal experience with it. And I know if I have a personal experience with it, so does the next man that comes from the inner city. So does the next guy. But mm-hmm. those people that don't come from the inner city, they don't care. So they don't care to make change. But we, when you come from those areas and you have the power to make change and speak about it, then it's your obligation to make change.
Very powerful, man, very powerful. And I know that there are a lot of parents and kids and coaches listening that got a lot out of that. One thing I definitely wanted to ask you tonight, because some of the young players that are listening, they're in the thick of it, Jay. They're literally where you were when you were waking up early, going to see Doc Kreese, our strength and conditioning coach, and hitting mm-hmm. the curls and the squats and getting after it. They're right there right now. What allowed you, with all of the distractions, and there's even more for these young men today, but with all of the distractions that we faced and things you could have got into, what allowed you to stay focused for those 4 years to eventually get that pro shot?
You're talking in college or in high school?
In college, and you can add in high school, but overall, you know, you've gotten where you are now because a certain level of focus. And where does that come from? How do you get to that?
Well, you know, for me, from a personal experience, I like I told you earlier, I witnessed so much as a young kid. Growing up where I grew up, I witnessed, you know, literally talking to a guy and 24 hours later, he's gone. You know, I've had a lot of experiences that really molded me to who I am today. And I took my, like I told you earlier, I took my opportunity. Like once I left my neighborhood and got this free education, like people paid me to be a student athlete. Like I would play football regardless for free anyway. And basically you're going to give me money every month and you're going to put me on national TV and you're going to give me all this Nike gear, like all these perks just for doing something that I would do free anyway. That was really inspiring to me, and also I always looked at it like someone paved the way for me. I talked to you about my brothers, and it was my chance to pave the way for the next upcoming guy that's looking up to me or that's watching me, because I observed a lot. I mean, I even observed you. I mean, when you were a year ahead of me and when we roomed together, I observed your moves. I mean, that's just who I am. Just observe and learn, and you pick and choose what you want to take from what you observe from each individual. And I've always just been inspired to be something, to be successful, to not fit the negative statistics of, oh, he's just a football player. I've just always been motivated and inspired to be more, to do more, and, you know, T. Wood, we got one life to live, and you never know when that clock's going to stop ticking. And when it stops ticking, you don't get another shot. It ain't you can't pause it. You can't rewind it. So you got one life. And for me, it's all about trying to impact as many people as I can and try to be as successful as I can while I'm impacting lives and changing lives for the better and for the positive.
Amazing, man. I have one more question, but that ending, we're going to end it with that. That was so hot and very heartfelt. So, hey, once again, I know it was short notice, but appreciate it so much, and you killed it as always.
Hey, I have one more thing I want to add.
Of course.
I'm in a process. I haven't talked to you about this. I'm in the process of writing a children's book. It's going to be. I haven't told many people about it. Just because I've been in the lab, just grinding away. But you know, it's an educational teaching book. It's about a father and a son and spending the day with each other, and throughout the day, the dad is instilling moral values and life learned lessons to his son. So when the book is released, I'm not going to release it until 2019, but I want to come back on your show and talk about it, because there's learning lessons for the parents also, because as parents that are listening, we got to learn that our kids pick up most of our traits from what they see at home, from mom, dad, grandma, grandpa. So parents play a more important role as to how our kids turn out than we think. So the book is it's good. It's educational for both the kids and parents. I'm getting a lot of positive feedback from it, and I can't wait to release it in 2019.
Amazing. Do you already have the name for it?
Yeah, the name of it is called Multitask with Jarvis and Dad.
Multitask with Jarvis and Dad. Perfect. Well, hey, man, that is big news. And definitely when that is ready to come out, let us know. We'll get it on the website. We'll get you on the show again.
Sounds good.
All right, boss. Have a good one. Tell the family I said hello.
Will do. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. So, hey, there you guys have it. That is none other than Mr. Jay Sean Sykes. Huge, huge advice and lessons for all of you young players, parents, coaches out there. I might have to play this one back myself and write my notes. A couple things that came to mind was, you know, you only have one life to live. You only have one life to live. You can't say, I'm going to do it on the next round. I'm going to go big on the next round. This is it. And then another thing that he talked about was desire and focus. You know, he's where he's at today as an assistant director of athletics and football operations because he had the focus, the desire, and the work ethic to get there. And his football talent allowed him to have the network to cash out on that desire, work ethic. So, you know, really pay attention, you guys. Listen to this one back because there was some key advice that could maybe set you apart from everybody else. And then last but not least, the new book. We want to hear what multitasking with Jarvis and Dad is all about. So we will keep you guys posted on that as well. If you guys didn't get to hear our last show, we had one of our former teammates, Coach Cedric Cormier from UNLV, on the last show. It was a couple weeks ago. Great tips, great advice for all you young players out there. So please, please share the link for this show. We're going to be bringing on more business professionals, coaches, players to help guide you guys and get you to the next level. If you haven't checked out our website, go to www.beforeyougopro.com. You can listen to archived locker room shows there. And then we are more than just a content-based company. We literally mentor young football players across the country and help prepare them for college and beyond. So if that's something that you're looking for or you know somebody that needs that type of support, please check us out at www.beforeyougopro.com, and we would love to help you out. I am your host, Coach Terrence Wood, signing off for BYGP and the rest of the BYGP team. We will definitely see you at the top. Have a good one.
You are now entering the BYGP locker room with your host, Coach.